All right, God bless everybody. Barney here from Norman, Oklahoma, shooting live our first experiment, and I trust everything's going well there at Point Loma Assembly. I got a special set design here, custom made by one of the ladies that and Vicky that we're staying here with, Debbie Gibson. So I wanted to get her name in, give her a little kudos, and thank you for her prayers for her life as well. But doing well here. Just settling in, getting our feet on solid ground. I think we said we had 3 tornadoes within the first week that we were here. So that was an interesting thing. A big siren goes off in town and kind of lets everybody know that there is something going on. So I guess we really learned to apply this verse here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "Be anxious or be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And certainly anxiety and worry and fear and a lot of these things that come into our everyday life because of certain distractions are not probably the most profitable things for us in our lives. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about being strong spiritually. And a lot of us have experienced times where maybe we feel been a little weaker. One great man said, "Spiritual inability and weakness is due to one of two things: improper spiritual food or neglect of the Word of God." And many of us think maybe spending time in the Bible, reading the Word, is sort of a fruitless effort. We don't really see the greatest benefit of it. So maybe for some of us, this will be an encouragement, a reminder, and maybe an exhortation to a lot of us, because we have to be proactive to keep your spiritual life strong and healthy. Just like your physical body, you want to be able to take care of your body the best way possible. If you really expect it to remain strong and healthy, and when you look in the mirror, you're blessed at what you see, and behold the glory of the Lord, right? Don't see the wrinkles, don't see the other things. Just see what God has made you to be. But we can't ignore our spiritual lives and expect it to remain strong. So I want to talk about 5 things this morning that I believe if you'll take to heart, it'll help you to stay stronger and more vibrant. And just like foundations of anything, any sport, any athletics, any language, there are fundamentals that we have to continue to stay strengthened in. And because we want to be able to hear from God. We want to be able to look to God and incline our ear towards Him. So, and these things are very simple. So maybe nothing new here, but number one, spending time with God every day in the morning.
They haven't been able to hear you.
Can they see me?
They just said we can't hear him all.
Okay. Well, we're getting some indication that y'all can't hear me, so guess I'll have to start all over again. I know I'm off mute here. We're good here. Because I can see when I speak here that the microphone is working.
Okay, they can see you, but they cannot hear you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. If I knew sign language, maybe you can read my lips. I will speak very slowly. Oh, my gosh, that is so hilarious.
I will let you know when but, you can hear him.
Okay. Somebody's texting and saying they will let us know when you can hear me. In the meantime, I guess you'll just have to look at me. And I don't know, maybe you could read this sign back. Yeah. Isn't that nice? Even though you can't hear it, maybe you could just read it. Okay, I did hear something going on back there.
Okay.
Oh, here's the update.
Coming in loud and clear on the phone. Debbie can hear you, and she's phoned in.
Okay.
Let me turn this off. I'll just wait. Hi, Vicki. I'm at home, and I'm with my iPad. I can see, and I can hear fine. Thank you.
Okay, sweetie.
Well, let me see if anybody's texting
Mute yourself.
Hello, Beffrey. Well, I guess everybody's hearing me on the conference call. I got a text from Fred Newbecker. Bless your heart, Fred.
Stop texting.
Says, Lodi hears you fine.
Wow.
Mike DeLeslie, we hear you on the conference call. He's calling from up in the Sacramento area. I'm sorry? Yeah. So, okay, well, Shati just texted. I feel like this is a talk show now. Shati just texted from Claremont Mesa, California. She says, I'm at home and I can hear you and see you clearly. And I know the recording's on, so I don't know what's going on. Jan Pettit from Las Vegas, loud and clear.
Hold on. Now we're hearing Barnes.
Okay, everyone there at Point Loma, bless your hearts. It's a blessing to be able to share. I have been sharing, and the people on the call have been hearing me. Obviously, you haven't, and I don't know how well you've been reading my lips, but let's try to rewind and delete and start all over again. Okay, well, God bless you in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Every one of us gets the opportunity to live out the reality of Philippians 4:6, the challenge, and someone once called it the warfare of rest. Because learning to be restful and at peace and strengthened in your daily life and in your heart doesn't just come axiomatically just because you're a Christian believer. We really have to make a conscious effort, a conscious decision to be proactive with the things of God. And you've heard this verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But that sometimes isn't always the way it happens, day by day, moment by moment. Because sometimes we don't take the time necessary to release the cares and concerns and the burdens of our heart, on a regular basis as we need to. But hey, you know what, just like those of you who practice yoga or some other discipline, maybe, in your job you have to have certain skill set to be able to really be effective. The same thing's true with our spiritual life. We really expect it to remain strong. We got to pay attention to it. And so I want to share some things this morning, five principles that I believe will help you to stay stronger and more vibrant in your daily life, and we want to be able to look to God and to hear from God. So let's start in Psalm 5, and this would be, I guess, number one, and this shouldn't come as any surprise, but it's good to be reminded of these things anyway, and that is to every day spend time with God in the morning. Okay, well, if you work second shift or you work mid-graveyard shift, then I understand maybe morning isn't going to be your prime time. But the reality is learning to spend time with God. In Psalm 5, it says, David wrote of his commitment to spend time with God every morning, and he said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now, that's really interesting, those final last words there, we'll look up. You know, because if we don't begin our day by looking up, then the natural tendency, and I've been there, and you've been there, and it's an ongoing challenge, Because we start looking down. And what do we look down at? Mobile devices, emails, text messages, a lot of things that get us distracted, and maybe even answering our voicemail and that sort of thing. Or maybe even the news. Or even start a to-do list. You know, our emotions, our feelings can pull us into a downward spiral even before we even leave the house, maybe before we even get out of bed sometimes. And in the context, you know, David understood this. He was surrounded with enemies outside his home, even among his own family members. But he knew he needed to start every day by looking up before, and this is really cool, his flesh had an opportunity to take him down. We have to look at the spiritual realities of who we are and who we've been made to be and who God is, rather than what we aren't, what we can't do, and how tired and inadequate we may feel at times. So let's start every day by looking up. And one way to certainly do that is by focusing our attention on the Word of God every morning and by spending some concentrated time talking to God. Another word for that is prayer. And so if we make God and His Word our first focus, that's going to be a lifeline, our spiritual strength. If we don't do this, the potential for being troubled, the potential for being nervous, the potential for being worried, and the potential to lack spiritual power is certainly a variable that's on the table. You know, I think each and every one of us want to live our lives at peace. We want to be more confident. We want to experience power to overcome the daily challenges of life. And so to do this, you might have to get up earlier. And that means you might have to go to bed earlier. But I think if we realize the benefit of making God the first focus every day, it's going to change everything. You know, I want these teachings for you to be life-changing, something you can begin to start doing immediately. Let's say you wake up, you grab your coffee, you head to your favorite chair, you sit down with your Bible, and you immediately begin to put God's Word into your heart and soul. It's going to feed you. It's going to keep you on track. And it's going to help you keep your heart tender. Because, boy, there's a lot of things in this world that will hurt you and get you distracted so that your heart becomes hard. And, boy, we don't really want to be Christians with hard hearts, for sure. And you know what? One day, without the Word, is all it takes for that hardening process to start. And that's why we have to be what has been called an alert watchman on the walls of our hearts, carefully guarding what comes into its gates. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, I'll give you just a second to get there, where it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keeping your heart, not this heart beating thing. The heart is the innermost part of who you are. It's what makes you, you. And we have the ability by the types of thoughts that we think to have an influence on our heart. And therefore, we have the ability to control what comes out of our heart as well. And like I mentioned as well, when you're there with your Word and you're in this place with God, like Warren saying about the quiet place, that's a great time to have a conversation with God and allow God to show us something and to plant maybe something deep within our hearts. And also another thing is you can pray with your spouse, pray with your children, pray before you drive your car or you travel or on any other means of transportation. These are just practical things. Obviously, some of those you're not going to do while you're reading the Bible, but just to take that to another level. Yeah, because see that verse, that word everything in Philippians 4:6, which we read earlier, but it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that word comes from a Greek word spelled P-A-N-T-I, and it embraces everything. It's an all-inclusive word. It includes the finest, most minute details. So we're never going to be in a bad place if we open our hearts up before God and just lay it out on the table. Because I'm going to tell you a little secret. God already knows. So it's not like we're hiding something from him. He already knows every little detail. But, you know, prayer is something good for us to do because it indicates our dependence upon God and our desire to want to have wisdom and to have answers. So we want to be able to get strengthened, and that's what I said this teaching was about. So, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. And that means without interruption, without taking a break, or to do it continuously. And so we want to develop a lifestyle of prayer, and the best time to begin that is the first thing in the morning, getting connected with God. All right, number two. Every day you spend time feeding your spirit on resources, godly sources. I was just talking to a young lady that we're staying here with, and she says, boy, I listen to a lot of teachings. I listen to a lot of music. I try to really, I try to get myself filled up, and that's really cool. And the thing is, too, and you probably are familiar with this, it's a good thing to read books. Something said, growing people are reading people. So we can process all that information, and not that we're necessarily needing to embrace everything that we read, but if we read, then we're exposing ourselves to a continual process of learning. And it enables us to go and to expand our capacity. It doesn't really even mean you have to read hours and hours and hours a day. You can take just maybe a chapter a day that causes you to think deeper or meditate a little bit more deeper or challenges your mind or challenges you to do something different to grow. But the reality is to make a deliberate effort to get something into your heart and mind that will stimulate growth. And, you know, there are different ways that people learn. Somebody might say, well, I'm not a reader. Okay, well, you know, there are thousands of audio series. There are blogs. There are video podcasts. I'm being encouraged right now to start my own video channel on YouTube, and I'm looking forward to the potential of what that could bring forward. But teaching CDs, we have a lot of various different things that we can put in the car. We have iPods, all these different things. So we have valuable time, and you know, you're driving back and forth to work. Why not plug something into the CD player that can help actually feed your spirit and help you to develop greater strength into your mind. Because, hey, you know what? What you put in your mind, it's going to determine what you think, what you believe, and ultimately what's going to happen in your life, right? And that works in both a negative way and a positive way. So let's work it to our advantage by listening and reading to things that are going to lift us up and help us change our circumstances to become, say, more godly. Well, one thing that could come up in a person's mind is, I don't have time to do that. I'm so busy, I have no time. Well, possibly what you could do as a test is to see how much television you watch or how much other time you spend doing other things in a given week. And these are not activities that do anything to stimulate, to nurture, or do anything to grow your life spiritually. But we have to make a conscious decision to pursue the things of God. Not that our righteousness is based on those things, but the strengthening of our hearts to walk out on the things of God certainly can be conditioned by that. All right, number three. We're moving right along here. Every day, spend some time getting quiet. And boy, that it can be a challenge in our culture today. It's been a huge challenge for me since in the last period of time where we've been packing, moving, traveling, staying in different locations and locales to find a place to really just, you know, be quiet and just allow the Spirit of God to work with you, and you can kind of process information. You can process your thinking. And so, you know, certainly remains to be a variable that one of the things, and one of the reasons that people get so upset and unsettled is, and they get so confused, is because they don't spend time getting quiet. They get so busy that we lose touch with ourselves. What you really truly believe, what you need, what you feel, we move through life like a mechanical wind-up toy, you know, like the Energizer Bunny. We just keep going and going and going and moving and moving and moving. And, you know, the end result of that is not fruitful. It's not that good. You know, in Psalm 37:4, another classic one, God says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Well, you know what? We all want the desires of our heart. But if we're not in touch with our hearts, how can we even know what those desires are? You know, much activity with no pause leads to spiritual dullness and confusion. We don't want to be in that state. We got to get some quietness into our lives. So how do you do that? Well, how about you take a walk and outdoors? How about you get up before other people in your house are awake and you let that time of quietness be your own time with God? Or, hey, can you just go into the bathroom maybe? You shut the door. Some people say, I've received the greatest amount of revelation in the shower or in the bathroom. Because, hey, maybe that's a place where you're the most quiet and God can actually talk to you. There's just not activity going on all the time. But this quietness, it helps to chase away inner turbulence and helps to facilitate the peace of God. You know, Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. This is what God says. And he commands us. He wants us to be still because he knows how much we need this to be strengthened. It's amazing how a lot of our lives and a lot of the pursuits of the world is all about productivity. Doing, productivity. And if you're not like filling up your day with activities the whole time, then you're really not making the best use of your time. You're maybe you're even lazy or something, right? So, but God says it's a good thing. Be still and know that I am God. So, hey, set aside 5 minutes every day. Start there. And then allow God to minister to you, to strengthen you. But boy, like Psalm 23 says, you know, he's the shepherd. He's going to lead us to those green pastures. He's going to lead us to those quiet seas. And we crave that. Sometimes whether we know it or not, we crave it, we need it. because that is an opportunity for us to spend time with God, let God work with us. And number four, spend some time with people who strengthen you. You don't really need to spend a lot of time, if much as possible, with people who are always bringing you down, discouraging you, talking down, being critical, you know, and it's not necessarily just about attending fellowship. And it is a good thing to attend fellowship. We're part of the body of Christ. That's where we get together with other people. The body of Christ needs us, needs you. It needs what you have to give in the body of Christ. The fellowship of the believers is not where you go to receive all that, although that does happen. How about the attitude of you go to give? You go to look for needs. You go to walk with God and minister and help and serve and give that love of God. See? And there is a mutual exchange kind of the strengthening that occurs in the fellowship with other believers. See? But for a lot of us, we need more than just one time a week. You know, we go to church on Sunday, we kind of get our little sermonette for the week, and then we go out, and then unless we're really diligent to continue to practice the things of God to be strong, you know what? It doesn't take the devil very long to talk us out of that and get us right back to, you know, where we were before we went to church for an hour and week. And we also need those people who are going to speak God's word into our life, who are going to encourage us, who are going to check on us, to hold possibly me accountable in various areas of life. Having an accountability partner, that's a really good thing. And hey, you know what? Technology. We have telephone, we have email, we have Skype, we have Google Duo, we have free conference call. There's several means. There's a lot of means that are available today. Or, you know what? Actually getting together with people and having face-to-face conversations and fellowship with one another. And so it is a really beneficial thing to find those people that you connect with and you trust and they trust in you, for them to encourage you and for you to just continue to develop a relationship with them. So that's something, again, we're talking about being strong and healthy, strong and healthy. It's going to keep us to be reminded to keep our eyes on the things of God, to keep moving forward as God's calling us to do. Could you do it without them? Well, yeah, of course you could do it without them, but why not take advantage of the things that you do have as a resource? Why would you deny someone the opportunity to be engaged with your life? So we have to make a concentrated effort to stay in touch with those people. You don't wait for them to call you and say, oh, they never call. You know, how about you actively pursuing the relationship? Huh? Sometimes people will just sit there in agony and for long periods of time and say, no one ever calls me. And, you know, don't they know that I have this thing going on in my life? Well, hey, how about, like I said, being proactive? See, proactive. How about you get on the phone? You write an email. You send a text. You call somebody and get together with coffee. See, something like that. Develop these relationships, maintain the relationships, pursue the relationships. I've been so thankful for the relationship I've had with Bob and Jeannie. He can speak for Vicky too, and with the other leaders in our ministry and in our fellowship. And, you know, last week I called Bob and we were talking. I said, you know what, I'd be blessed to get together with you every day on the phone and let's just pray together. And something transpired in my heart just in the process of saying that. I was just so strengthened, actually. The Spirit of God just kind of rose up in me, and because it was something I identified as a need, and I respect Bob and his counsel and our friendship and kind of the camaraderie we have together, and I believe he'll speak the word to me, and I'll speak the word to him. And I have others in my life that are like that, but we all need people in our lives that will help us and encourage us, who believe in us and will fight for us when we're not maybe functioning at 100%. And, you know, spouses can do that for spouses, but sometimes you need someone outside of your spouse to bring that encouragement to you, for sure. So finally, in number five, Psalm 119:164 says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, I haven't done it in a while, but I used to set alarms on my phone that would go off every certain amount of hours, and I would call it a praise pause. And so I would just be reminded by an alarm on my phone to just take a few moments, 30 seconds, whatever, and pray and praise and thank God. And you know what? Those were really helpful, because who knows what goes on in the course of the day. But I can speak in tongues, I can praise, I can give thanks well at any time. But yeah, just like any other human being, I need to be reminded. And so here's David saying, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. So, you know what? Do it. Take a praise pause. It will really radically change things. And a lot of times what it does is it gets your mind off of your circumstances. Because sometimes circumstances, you know, they will just, you know, they're not so good, you know. And one thing leads to another, to another, to another. So, well, hey, do that thing with your phone. I thought that was just a really awesome idea. And to take a praise pause, you know? So it's amazing. Well, those are the five things that I thought about that would be great things for each and every one of us to be able to think about and to do. To number one, every day spend time with God in the morning. And there are tons of verses in the Bible. I don't have time to go into them all today. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he departed out into a solitary place and he prayed. There's the example of Jesus. I'm not saying you have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, but how about just a designated period of time that you will devote to the things of God, reading the Word, praying, and possibly that will be your time of being quiet. You know, simple things like praying together with your spouse, those things seem to sort of get pushed to the side. And then one day you wake up and you realize, you know what, we should be praying together. But you know, 2 weeks have gone by, 3 weeks, a month, 6 months. Start today. Start tomorrow. How long does it take to get together with your spouse or even another believer if you're single and just pray, pray. And then have time every day as much as possible to feed the spiritual life via other godly sources, whether it's listening to CDs, listening to podcasts, reading something. You know, a thing that a lot of us do is listen to music. Music can be a very uplifting and strengthening thing to the Spirit of God, and it just sometimes resolves and ministers and heals things that, and maybe in the process we cry, or we laugh, or we raise our hands, and we're saying glory, hallelujah, praise God, amen. It just does so many different things, and you got to have the freedom to just let yourself go. And number three, spend some time getting quiet. See? I was just quiet. Having a quiet pause. Having a praise pause. Having a study pause. Having a prayer pause. And you know what? Spend time with those people who strengthen you, who help you, who will cause you to rise up to your full potential. And you and I, every one of us, can think of one person in particular who probably has helped us to do that in the course of our lifetime. And finally, set your alarm on your phone and take some time during the day to remind yourself of how good God is and how much He has really worked in your heart to bring you to the place that you are today. So, Bob and Jeannie and all of you saints back there in San Diego, and for those of you who have joined in on the conference call, Vicki and I love you, and we appreciate all of your goodness and grace and everything that you do in contributing to the body of Christ. And thank you for your continued support and prayer. We do appreciate it, and we will keep you up to date as things develop here in the Oklahoma area. We will continue to stay attached by the way of the conference calls. And on Thursday night, Vicki and I will be hosting a conference call. It starts at 7:30 Central Time, which is 5:30 Pacific Time. So I guess that's going to about do it here for me this morning. So I'm going to sign off from Norman, Oklahoma. Love you guys, and God bless. Hope to hear from you soon.
That was great. Great. Well, we're going to close out with prayer, and with our conference call, folks. And then I want to do a little something with us right here. So, Al, close out.
Wow, gracious Heavenly Father, what a dear brother we have in Christ who pursues your word, who pursues your love, and is always ready to share it with us and encourage us. And like Barney said, spend some time with each other and encourage each other, Father, to love one another and to